It's deteriorating quickly.
So am I. So am I.
Aren't we all? Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, JV. In this show, my man, James Tapeleg Grayling, and I discuss the new-look Avalanche after the trade deadline, who's hot and who's not, and we say a fond farewell to some former Avalanche. Those topics and a whole bunch more Avs and hockey stuff coming at you in episode number 149 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stay tuned. The AHP is next. Hey, what's going on, Avalanche fans? Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. He is James Tapeleg Grayling. My name is Jay Veen, and this is your home for almost everything Avalanche.
Hi, Jay.
What's going on, partner?
Man, it is early. I've got to go to work, and I am woefully unprepared.
Hey, me too. Let's do a show.
Let's do a show.
But oh, plenty to talk goodness. About. Freaking great game last night.
Oh, that my God.
That was fun. We're going to talk about that one.
That was Oilers versus Avs.
Oh.
Oh, man.
That game had everything. Shootouts, referees swallowing their whistles, angry Wes McCauley, all those things. Mm-hmm. Had everything. Mm-hmm. Everything. But that's not important right now. What's important right now, James?
What's important is that this is episode 149 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. And that means that we need to talk about some jersey numbers, which is jersey number 49.
That's us.
It's a short list. It is a short list.
The lists are going to be pretty short kind of from here on out. But it is what it is.
That's a good point. Yeah, I don't see really anything over five players now. And this only has three.
Yeah.
And one of them is a current Avalanche and trade bait rumor.
Not magnet. Anymore. Yeah. He's not the one that's getting picked on anymore.
Mm-mm. Samuel Girard, of course.
Ever since he came back from his treatment? Should we call it treatment?
Oh, that. Yeah.
He's been great. He's looked fantastic. Although last night's game was kind of like, both teams were doing it, but if you don't clear your zone when you have a chance, mm-hmm. Something bad is going to happen. And
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
But he's
but also great. So in number 49, we also have Kip Miller,
the Nordiques legend. I don't know that guy.
And Serge Aubin. See, there's got to be one.
There's got to be one. And if there's just one, well, you can.
That's just
use your French Canadian.
Serge Aubin.
That's pretty good.
Serge Aubin. Yeah. I sound like the pronunciator on YouTube. Hockey name
on YouTube. Pronunciator. Yeah.
Serge.
Only Aubin. Played in a few games. But yeah, Sammy G.
Sammy G.
He's our favorite 49.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, El Tornad, La Tornad. I don't know whether that's masculine or feminine.
Okay.
There we go.
That's not, I don't think that's French Canadian either.
The Tornad. Yeah. Miko's got his, I call it the Miko go round. He's got a little spin move he does now too. He tried it last night.
House of Bonita.
Yes.
Great.
So there it is. Those are the number 49s through history.
The other numbers right now are that the Avalanche are currently first in the Central, and only 1 point, they're tied with Dallas as we speak right now, and the only team that's ahead of them is Vancouver Canucks by 1 point.
I didn't realize how close they were to Vancouver, but a six game win streak will do that.
And 8-2 in their last 10, which actually, you know, is a little surprising to me. It just doesn't seem like that was
it's been that kind of year. It's been a strange year where
it's been a really up and down year.
Yeah. They're not as bad as they seem sometimes. And I think they're starting to show with the moves that they made and how this team plays the hockey now. Yeah, I saw a Sportsnet article this morning where it's like Edmonton proves that they're, you know, they can play with the big boys. It's like, wait, you are a big boy. You don't consider yourself a big boy? So mm-hmm. That was Sportsnet, but
I think I saw that big boy hockey article, and a lot of it was about like what about fighting and things like that, and whether
something like that. Know. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was something like, I mean, what a game last night. I mean, those two teams mm-hmm. can skate.
Oh yeah.
And, but yeah, it had, like I said, it had everything. It had, you know, stuff after the whistle and a fight and a penalty shot, all those things. But yeah, that was just great hockey. Two really, really good hockey teams.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Last night's game, one of the things with that was that the passing was so fast and good. And there was a game not too long ago where it was fast, but not very good.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm using my good hockey words there.
You're using the good vocab.
I think it was Vancouver that I was watching that had like, they were moving the puck around a lot, but they weren't necessarily moving the puck around well.
Yeah.
Like there were a lot of fast passes, but there was a lot of reaching for them. There was a lot of, stretching. There was a lot of, oh, I've got to go collect that, or I've got to settle this down. Last night seemed a lot more settled.
Yeah. A lot of good movements. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, I don't even want to call them the secondary guys, but like, you know, the Oilers can, both these teams can just flat skate. A lot of passes that were intercepted by good sticks and things like that. Like, I don't know. It was just one of the better hockey games I've watched. And not just because the Avalanche won. I mean, that was good.
Oh yeah.
That was really good. Let's keep talking about it. There's an angle of Lehkonen on the game winner. And then was Draisaitl that he beat to the net, which there's a whole nother dynamic there. But what Nathan MacKinnon did in the corner, like I didn't even really pay close attention to that. I was just too busy watching Lehkonen, but kicking the puck up to his own skate and Lehkonen actually like he almost deeks Draisaitl. I don't know if you've seen this angle yet.
I don't think but
he was on Draisaitl. He was kind of between where Draisaitl could see the puck and Lehkonen, and he starts to glide. And Draisaitl's like, oh, cool, overtime. And then Lehkonen goes around his backside, and it's just like, no, I think I'll take a couple hard, you know, a couple more strides here, and beats him to the net. Because games like that, leagues like this, you know, it's inches, it's half seconds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he basically deked him. And it was, I'm sure the media up in Edmonton had a little fun with that one.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, it's so rare that a game will actually come down to the very last seconds. No. It's so rare that you see, I mean, we see it in baseball also where guys aren't running out balls to that they're pretty sure are going to be an out. And it's oftentimes it can be closer than you would think it would have been if they had run it out, all the stuff. And yet every so often you just get that one where they're half a second left in overtime. And there it is. You unexpected. Who would have thought? But even Mosier said last night, that's why you play to the whistle.
And that's exactly, I saw a post last night. It's like every Pee Wee coach is going to show this mm-hmm. goal to their team and say, that's why you play to the whistle. And Lehkonen didn't even know it. I think he knew it went in. I don't think he knew whether it counted or not. Mm-hmm. So he kind of turned away and was just like, well, you know, maybe it's overtime. And I think he saw MacKinnon and Makar coming toward him, was like, oh, that counts. That's because Makar wasn't feeling well last night. The media was saying that he was coughing and looking pale and he had been sick. He didn't skate yesterday morning. We'll take a sick Cale Makar too.
Yeah.
Cause he had his chances last night too, but yeah, I don't know, man. What a great game. The result we obviously prefer, but yeah, that was good hockey. And we'll get to that in a little while too, because your favorite thing, one of your favorite things. No, you sent me. It wasn't one of your favorite things. There was a feed that didn't have any commentary on it.
There was. It was like it was some CBC feed. I guess it was Hockey Night in Canada last night.
It was
for their game, and no commentary, just the game audio. And let me tell you, pretty jealous of that. Pretty jealous. I don't know if that was on my ESPN Plus feed at all, because I think there was, I think it was just ESPN. I don't know, but boy, what no, if that was an option? I would take it all the time.
Yeah, mine was just the Avs and the Oilers feed, and I like to listen to the away feed every once in a while just to hear what they're talking about with the Avalanche and stuff like that. And yeah, that should be an option. The NBA does little things like that where, mm-hmm. yeah, I'd like that.
I think there was
last night was a great game for that.
What was there one recently where the TSN crew had to do the commentary and all of that because the audio feed from whatever game didn't actually happen, or they had technical difficulties and they had to like suddenly jump on doing basically the in studio did the commentary. Huh. I don't know, man. Those guys would probably, I think that would be a ton. Like, so
yeah, they do that every once in a while. It's kind of weird, but
yeah,
they do it. It's pretty, a lot of talent, but yeah, sometimes I'd just rather just watch the game.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
I guess that's what the mute button is for. That's what my dad always says.
But, yeah, yeah, but still, it's not. You know, I mean, one of the reasons I love hockey over basketball is I love the sound of hockey. Just there's something about the squeaky basketball shoes that just doesn't do it for me.
Well, I didn't think you'd say that on the show.
Yeah, well, sorry. You know, that's yeah, exactly. That's always something new on the AHP.
Oh yeah,
when
always
you're,
something new.
When you're woefully unprepared and have to go to works.
Yeah, pucks hitting the glass. Sunday. Pucks landing flat on the ice. That's
hockey
another.
Hockey stops are a great sounding thing. I just, there's something about the that just works.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, crunching against the boards, the whole deal. I just, the sound of hockey is so fun.
Yeah. Sticks sliding off each other. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But also considering how much swearing there is in an average NHL hockey game, I could imagine that having just the ice feed on broadcast would not work.
I'd watch.
This is a Cinemax level game. Language
for the, there's going to be some colorful and industrial language.
Viewer discretion is advised.
It's NHL After Dark.
After hours.
All right.
They do have that After Hours show, and it is not as
after. It's not what you want it to be.
No, there's not. Okay. There's definitely not as much smooth jazz as we'd all appreciate.
If it doesn't have smooth jazz, I'm
you
out.
Know what Count I'm saying.
Smooth jam and jazz. we forgot something from our last show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Patrick was back. Like, I didn't have that on my bingo card for this year, but here we are. It's Patrick Waugh.
With the Islanders.
With the Islanders. Out of nowhere, off the top rope, Patrick Waugh. So,
you know, you knew somebody was going to get him. So he was going to have another chance at being a head coach.
At some point, yeah.
I mean, he was in that purgatory for a bit of, you did bad things, shouldn't have done that. At the same time, you know, I mean, he left in a very poor fashion, but at the same time, he had a job to do. He was, you know, he's got his own team, all that kind of thing.
What could go wrong?
Ramparts. And so eventually he was going to get a shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Him and Lou, like, let's go big.
Wow. So. Yeah. That's going to be interesting. I wonder if this is like Lou Lamoriello's last team that he's ever going to work with. Like, guy's got to retire sometime.
He's 1,000 years old.
He is. He's 1,000 years old. I kind of think he's probably just like, do we even see him anymore? Like, I haven't seen him
for years. Yeah.
He never talks to the, you know, he could just be like a robot in the back.
He could be, yeah, like an avatar or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He could be like they uploaded his brain to the HockeyBot 2000 and that's all he did. Mm-hmm. Go get Patrick Waugh. But sir, there are other options. Does not compute. Get Patrick Waugh. Get me Patrick Waugh.
You heard what I told you. You heard. Bring him to me.
Don't make me hurt you like the last one.
Okay, sir. I'm sorry.
Bring me another scout to eat.
Yeah. So, Patrick Waugh. I mean, people are going to show up for that.
He's doing well. He's doing
fine.
Yeah.
He's doing fine. Yeah. We'll talk about him in a little bit too.
You know, of all the, he's, you know, his coaching career, the two things that he's really known for was shoving the glass, you know, at Bruce Boudreaux, and pulling the goalie so early. And now he can't even be like, that's not even the pulling the goalie is not even his anymore. No. With what happened with the Wild the other day, pulling the goalie in overtime so that they could get, you know, that's just insanity. Insanity,
but it's all that, you know, that's probably not possible without Patrick Waugh. Led to a lot of exciting moments, and he's kind of changed the game and is on the game management side.
He definitely had an impact. Yeah.
Have to respect that.
Yeah.
Of course.
So good for him. Good for him.
Totally. I mean, we like Patrick Waugh. Mm-hmm. Hey, Nathan MacKinnon, still good at hockey.
Still very good at hockey.
He's pretty decent.
You know, Looking at the stats. Mm-hmm. Looking at the stats. I mean, he is far and above every other Avs player right now.
Maybe not. Obviously, if you look at the stats for the league, like, I mean, this is moving towards the best Avalanche season in history. Mm.
For him?
And that's
for any player.
That's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think the number is 120.
120 points?
I believe really? So.
He's only four away from that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's Sakic. But I mean, like, he's on another planet. And that's another reason why watching last night's game was so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Sportsnet feed, or whoever it was, whoever Hockey Night in Canada was, but they were like, yeah, if there was another league, McDavid and MacKinnon would qualify for it. It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That is true.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, thank goodness you have a Nathan MacKinnon. A few years ago, of course, it was when they won the cup, you know, how do you win a cup? You get a Cale Makar. But right now, and there was, I was reading a thing like speculation on Makar that, like, since he's come back from the injury, he hasn't quite been as Cale Makar as Cale Makar. Yeah. So there might be some stuff still nagging. But sure. if you look at the goals are kind of like, okay, Nathan MacKinnon, 42 goals right now. Who would not be happy with that? Mikko Rantanen, 34 goals right now. Who would not be happy with that? Nichushkin with less games played, 25 goals. Who would not be happy with that? Yeah. But, and then Cale Makar was 17, obviously leading defenseman with goals. It falls off pretty fast after that, though.
Yeah.
It's like that. We talk a lot about secondary scoring. There's not a ton of goals coming from people. Right now, Lekkonen, 12. You know, Taze, 11. Okay. You know, he's still a defenseman. Fine.
Manson
with 7.
Yep.
You know, but it's sometimes a little.
But I think people, I think one of the, some of the noise on socials was Rantanen when he's, I don't know. Everybody's, I think, perspective gets a little bit turned around when Rantanen doesn't score for two or three games.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I think it's all relative, you know,
mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, as long as those guys stay healthy and they're solid, this team has a chance to beat anybody.
Sure. I start to wonder, like, depth. Then we start talking about, well, do they have the depth to go deep? Do they have the depth to compete in the playoffs when a star can get injured?
Yeah. And that is, the depth has changed.
Mm-hmm. When you have a star like Forsberg go out and you still have the depth to be rolling your lines and still be a threat all the time. Does the Avalanche have that kind of team where one of those guys can go out and you still have that kind of depth?
That's gotten more dynamic, that's for sure. And I've got a new theory on depth. I know. Stay tuned for that.
Oh, are we talking about it later?
We can talk about it now if you want. I was just mentioning Nathan MacKinnon, home game point streak. Yeah. He's putting up, historic numbers. Keep it going, Nathan MacKinnon. We approve. We totally approve. Let's go to the moves. Here's my theory. We can start with the theory. It's hard to afford depth for the entire season.
Mm.
Like this is the thing. Like, you watch this team earlier in the year And it's, you know, they've got guys in the lineup that, I don't know, it's McDermott was a good example where they had to play him, but it's like, I don't know, he just doesn't fit in. But you can't afford that depth maybe for the whole year, but maybe at the trade deadline, you acquire the right depth with the money that you have available. Mm-hmm. And but if you can't hang on until then, you're in trouble with a team like the Avs. So they're good enough to ride the guys that will help them, you know, be where they need to be. But man, Sakic and Chris McFarland just end up like grabbing the depth that they need at that point rather than the depth that they might need all year. Mm. Not every team can afford to do that. Mm-hmm. But and then some of these guys they're not going to be able to re-sign. Because right now, from what I've seen the last few games, I want all these guys to stay. This is a heck of a team.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they'll be able to afford them, which, you know, that's, I guess it's worth the risk. But I mean, a guy like Sean Walker, we all watched him last night. I mean, what a game. And sometimes even Jared Bednar has said, I confuse him for Cale Makar during practice. It's like, you don't hear people talk about that very often, but you watch the moves that he makes and you're like, yeah. So I don't know if they'll be able to hang on to him. But that's my new theory. So it's definitely different because you'd want to have that depth all year long, but you maybe can't afford it, especially with the big contracts that the Avalanche have.
This is true. Yeah. I agree with you on and it hurts to say it in a way because with the depth not being able to afford it for the whole season, you should be able to build your team. Yeah. And work with your team because there's so many times when those big trade deadline moves don't work out. There's so many times when you pick up that rental and it absolutely doesn't happen. Jerome Iginla was one.
There's probably been more busts. Yeah, way more busts. But when it does work out, holy, it's just so cool to watch. Yeah.
But there was a study about basketball players and when they, you know, how long it takes for them to gel. And it was like, you know, several seasons to finally get for players to really learn what each other was doing out there. And maybe, and of course, that's a different sport entirely. There's less, what you're doing with a system may be more important in hockey because there's so many players playing with each other. Right. Rather than playing this one, you know, with this one guy or with these few guys.
When there's eight or nine guys involved rather than.
Yeah. You know, and we might be shifting you around a lot, things like that. But I always worry that, you know, you're picking up a guy, you're slotting him into a system and what's going to happen. And, you know, I mean, since we keep jumping ahead to everything, a perfect example is one of your favorite things for the week. Is the Bo Byron power play. You know, here's a guy that basically got slotted, you know, taken off of a very offensive team, put onto quarterback of a power play, and he's doing anything but, but quarterbacking.
Quarterbacking a power play. That was not quite
that it. Was not it. And that's fine because he was doing, you know, the thing that he can do. And the thing that he was used to doing, which is getting everywhere he could be to make a play.
And the Sabres fans noticed this right away, obviously.
Oh, did they?
A little too well.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to guess that there were a lot of Sabres fans also going, get off my lawn. What are you doing? Get back in your place. But at the same time, boy, you want to see some creative power play. Okay, we're going to show you some creative power play.
But creative could be a word. That's one word. There's other words for that.
Mobile.
Ad hoc. I don't know. There's lots.
There's lots.
Bo was like, wait, guys, is this a power play?
We're trying to win, right? That's our job, right? We're trying to win.
Yeah. I just wonder kind of what was going through his head. The other guys on the ice, the bench, the management, the coaching staff, like, what's he doing?
Like, if this were a hockey rom-com, they would be basically saying, they'd take him into the office and go, that's just not how we do it around here. And then they'd go to the bar and he'd be like, guys, come on, we can be the plucky guys that, that win it all and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, they go out there and they all start moving around and, you know, the one of the forwards pantses the other, you know, one of the other guys out there.
And they give up 50 shorthanded goals.
Like, hey, yeah. What's all this? And then they, you know, they start winning and then they, you know, they win it all or they like lose in the very last game. Or, and everybody's sad for all the wrong reasons, you know.
You've seen the show before.
Once or twice.
That was one of the gifts that somebody posted. It was an actor going, we don't do that here.
We really like your initiative.
Yeah,
however,
we appreciate your energy.
Yeah.
But we don't appreciate it that much. Thanks anyways, though. We're very happy you're here, though.
That's not how we do things around here. Now, if you could have your GPS report available for me, that'd be just great. That'd be great.
So what would you say you do here? So the Avs trade Bo Byram. There's that, too. Part of me is, you know, Bo had his moments.
Mm-hmm.
But part of me watches him on the power play. And wonders, did he just kind of do his own thing a little too often where the Avs felt like, I mean, this was a rumor that had been going around for a while as far as him moving and yeah. But the Avalanche trade him to the Sabres for their second center that they've been looking for, Casey Mittelstadt. And that pass to Sean Walker for his second goal last night was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And Mittelstadt has made pretty much an immediate impact, being that solid second center that the Avalanche have needed all year. So yeah, Bo Byram.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether it was a contract thing because he's going to need to get paid or whether he was expendable. I've also thought sometimes guys don't know how to play behind a Cale Makar.
Mm.
It takes a special person who has always been the man. Because Byram was a first, you know, early first round pick. There's that too. And I don't blame, you know, you either have it or you don't, but some Matt Duchene comes to mind too. Mm-hmm. He early in his career, he wasn't quite used to knowing how to be not the best player on the ice or the best offensive player on his team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not being critical. It's just something that I notice and anybody who's played sports, kind of understands that, but
yeah,
he was traded for a reason, and it seems to have worked out so far. Just hoping it keeps going.
I think with Bo Byram, for me, my thing about Bo Byram was always this kind of that same thing that I see a lot with college players when they go right to the NHL. They're very much used to being the guy when they're mm-hmm. at that level where they can make the leap without going through the minors at all. So they go off on their own. Oftentimes, they're out there with people that maybe because it's college, because there's so many players, because the field is so wide, because so few of those players are actually going to make it to the NHL draft and all of that. There is no one to pass to. There is no one to make plays with. And so you become that person that goes in on your own all the time. And you know what? If you can go in on your own all the time and score all the time, a lot will be forgiven. There won't be a lot of problems with that. When you are at 70, you know, like with Cale Makar, 63 games, 74 points, that's going to be pretty well forgiven. If you are at Bo Byram level and you have 60 games and 25 points, people are going to be going, hey man, are you going to make a pass? So I felt like he was often making like those college level decisions and didn't grow out of them. And if you don't grow out of them, I don't know that you're going to really stick well. The other thing with like that power play the other day was, you know, where from that, watching that power play, everybody's like, oh, he played on a power play that moved. Well, you know what? He was like the number three and occasionally mm-hmm. number four guy for the power play.
He was one of the three defensemen on the second power play.
Yeah. That's the thing. That's so unusual that of course you're going to, you know, you're not going to be just stuck up top, but if you're quarterbacking the power play, unless somebody's out, your first guy is going to be Cale Makar. Your second guy is going to be Toews. And your third guy, it's probably going to be Girard because he's got the experience. And especially now since he's come back from the Players Assistance Program, he's playing a lot better hockey.
He really is.
Yeah. So
it's Tyson Jost is another name that, you know, at North Dakota, he was the guy. It took him a while to understand his new role in a new league with bigger people. And he did it pretty well. We're not going to be critical of, we don't do critical here for the most part, but yeah, that's another, as you were talking, Tyson Jost was another name where you fundamentally almost have to change your game. And some players are going to be better at doing that than others. And, we wish Bo Byram well.
Yep. Oh, hey, speaking of Tyson Jost, guess where he's playing?
I heard his name come up the other day.
Buffalo. He is a Buffalo Sabre, but he's only played 33 games this year. And so I'm, he might have been out for a while with injury, but, he played the 16th, the 14th, the 12th. So yeah, you know, he's been around, but yeah, he's been a Sabre for, he was Sabre last season. So, and this season. So,
so
it's kind of, unfortunately, I feel bad for Sabres fans in a way. Cause it's like, well, it's where sometimes players just go to purgatory.
Well, and I, you know, Tage Thompson, the big forward, was doing some crazy things at the beginning of this year. And, and then he got injured. And I saw him the other night and I was like, I have not heard his name for a long time. So I don't know whether he's healthy. Alex Tuck is another one who is an Avs killer. They've got some of the pieces, but they're having a hard time putting it all together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, you know who Tage Thompson's dad is? Brent Thompson, who was a coach for assistant coach at the Islanders, head coach with their AHL team, but also one of the original Colorado Eagles, Brent Thompson.
Oh,
so yeah,
I did not know that
until recently. And I met Brent at a game in Indianapolis.
He's tall then.
He's a big guy. Okay. He's a big guy.
Thompson's a big dude.
He's a tough guy. So he was
star.
Tough.
The more you know, shooting star.
Anyways, yep.
So there we go.
There you go.
Let's talk about other moves. Curtis McDermott to the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
For a hockey guy in a 7th round pick.
Was that just clearing space, you think, for what was to come with Walker?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. It just seemed like the further the season went and the speed with this team plays, that's kind of its signature. Because it's, you know, you're not going to ask Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar to skate slower. So you build around those guys. I think he wasn't fitting in here anymore. And people were worried about toughness. But then they went and got some toughness with, some trades within the division are always interesting. But the Avs traded a 3rd round pick in the 2026 draft to the Wild for Brandon Duhaime. And he can fill that role a little bit. And Josh Manson can do it too.
Obviously from last night, yes.
That was a good one.
Good Tilly.
But Duhaime took Ryan Johansson's number right away, which you don't see very often. But I was like, whoa, that's interesting. But Duhaime does not back down from contact or confrontation and he's been good so far. What else? Speaking of Ryan Johansson, traded to the Flyers for a 1st round pick, which is top 10 protected. Don't ask James and I about that. For defenseman and superstar from last night, Sean Walker. The Flyers immediately waived Johansson, and Danny Briere said we have no intention of playing him in Philly at all.
Man, how would that feel?
Isn't that crazy?
God.
But yeah, so the Avalanche gets something for Ryan Johansson, and I'm telling you, the game right afterwards, this team, I don't lean on Dater for much, but Dater, when I think he's finally learned that when he puts something out, it probably needs to be right, not just for clickbait. He was right. He actually broke the Nichushkin when he went to treatment. And he was talking about, and everything I've seen proves this right, is Ryan Johansson. There was some issues in the locker room. And right after he got traded, this team didn't have the new players still, But they looked better. They looked freer. They can play more of their game. I thought that was really interesting.
Hmm.
And I don't think anybody thought that the Avs were going to be able to get anything for Ryan Johansson. And so far that deal's paying off and then some.
Hmm. Interesting. I can't speak to any of that, but yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
It's just, wow. Yeah, what an interesting place and way to basically dump somebody. Yeah. I mean, who knows? It'll take a while to figure out what the, what happens with that pick, with that first round pick for the Flyers. But other than that, I mean, it definitely feels like an immediate lopsided trade for the Avs. But what are the Flyers' goal right now? You know, probably their goal is more to build for the future than it is to win right now, because they ain't winning right now.
And they probably weren't going to be able to re-sign Sean Walker. So there you go.
There you go.
But man, he looked good last night. And the moves that he's making, and yeah.
So. Actually, the Flyers are winning right now. They're actually I didn't realize that they were that high up right now. Kind of
okay.
Kind of surprising, you know, when you can't even get your coach to leave the bench.
It's the small thing.
It is.
The Avalanche also acquired forward Yakov Trinan and the rights to a hockey player guy from the Predators for Jeremy Hansel, who they signed earlier that day. I bet you the Predators are like, hey, you sign this guy to an entry level and then we'll take him. And then the third round pick in next year's draft. Trinan he's like 6'2", 200 pounds. When he's out there, you notice him. He's a big dude. Mm-hmm. Hasn't done a ton offensively or anything like that, but he can kill penalties. And I don't know, man. This team looks better. They look freer. They look faster. I think they just basically took what the Avs were needing to be this year and moved the guys that weren't fitting in quite as well and get some guys to make this team even more themselves. And they've looked really good the last four or five games.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can keep that going.
Yeah, it's interesting because to me, the reclamation projects, I think, are always the interesting guys. And for the money, Jonathan Drouin's been working out. For the money. I would not say that he's, you know, sometimes it feels like he really hasn't earned the slots that he's gotten from his, you know, from the production. But overall, like as far as reclamation projects are concerned, that's a pretty good one. Johansson. Tatar, not so much. And they had to move them. And that's the business. I just can't imagine being in that business. Woo.
That'd be rough. Doesn't sound fun. No. It's fun to be on the right side of it. It's not fun to be involved in it, but
yes, that is a good point. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. So Val Nichushkin also comes back to the lineup after missing 22 games. Mm-hmm. That makes a difference with this team. You know, he's looking good. Hopefully much healthier, whatever it is. He scores an overtime goal on March 8th for his second career overtime winner. And then on the 13th, for those of you that saw the replay or watched the game, he just scores it off his face, off his face shield for a game winner as well to come all the way back against the Canucks to beat them 4-3 in overtime.
And he did not make a distinct headbutting motion.
He did not.
Which we have seen in the past be recalled as, you know.
Yep.
So it was just a deflection off of the face.
He just doinked off his face.
Yep.
I wonder if there's a podcast called The Distinct Kicking Motion. It's hard to say, but I think that would be a good name for a podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Distinct Kicking Motion. Kicking
Motion. And like any hockey fan would love it. That's going to be our next show.
Welcome to.
I don't know what that show will cover, but
welcome to.
Why'd you start your show? Well, we just wanted
kicking motion.
Don't think. I think that would be good. It's just, it doesn't roll off the tongue like Avs Hockey Podcast, but
what does?
It's okay though.
What does?
It's okay. So
we've got all this change with the Avs, and I was kind of surprised that they didn't do anything to address the backup goalie. And yet right now we have Anunin who's playing pretty, you know, putting up some good numbers.
Something happened with that guy. And it just seemed like the game slowed down to him. Somebody told him something, or it was, I don't know. It's been pretty cool to watch him turn into something that we had not seen before. He's been called up several times before and played, and it was hard to be confident in him. Mm-hmm. It just, the best way I can put it is the game has slowed down for him, and all of a sudden the need for a backup goaltender kind of got a little quieter, because people were saying, especially with Georgiev playing like he was, they need a backup. And I don't know, here we are.
I'm going to be interested to see what this team, and as you said, the freer, more offensive, faster flying team does in front of him versus Georgiev, because that is just so much of how a team reacts to the goalie. If the goalie's being a sieve, they start playing back more. If he's putting up numbers, they're going to play differently. They're going to play a little freer and more confidently. So it's going to be interesting to see what this new version does versus the old. I can't complain about his numbers. It's just a question of what's happening in front of him, which is always a lot harder to gauge by the numbers for a goal.
That dynamic, your goaltender needing to be your best penalty killer, that has not been Georgiev so far this season. And just like you said, I think it makes the defenseman a little, like, not hesitant, but one way or another, they're like, don't give the puck up in your own zone because bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is the first time in a while where that's really stuck out for this team. Mm-hmm. Is like, their biggest issues are, like, I don't know, with any good team, not staying out of the box and giving up the puck in your own zone.
Yeah.
And when you have a goaltender that can turn away a lot of those chances one way or another, that makes things a little freer and easier.
True.
And that's going to be their biggest, I think, thing moving forward. I don't know if that'll keep them from going somewhere or not going somewhere, whatever. But we've seen a lot of that this year, where the turnovers and the penalties come back to just kill them. So hopefully things work out. Georgiev looked way better last night. He didn't have to be the best penalty killer though either, which is interesting. And Ananen he's looked solid lately. It's been cool to watch him. And hopefully he keeps that up.
Ananen. Did I call him a Noonan?
I might call him a Noonan. Everybody, the juice. Call him the juice.
You know, living here in Minnesota, say the name of a town and people are going to correct you no matter what you say.
A little gun shy.
Like, Waseca. No, it's Waseca. Oh, God.
You idiot.
No. Okay, fine. It's Waseca. No, it's Wasuka. Oh. All right, fine. Wasuka. No, it's Wananana.
The place over there. Stop yelling at me. I haven't even gotten to the point.
E except after C, unless it's down.
Totally. Hey, I have a new, segment for the show. It's called Let's Check In on Some Players real quick.
Okay. Does it need theme music?
I mean, it could. I don't know. Do you have... Hey, friends, let's check in on some players real quick.
Ba-dum-bum.
We already checked in on most of these guys, but Zach Parise has proven to be a great pickup. Oh, James is putting in the music in our Google Doc. Sweet.
I'll remember for next time.
So Parise, I've loved so far. Another good signing. I still really like the fact that him raising the cup while he's still getting paid for the Wild. I would like that, please. I want that in my life. But I think we pretty much talked about everybody else on this list already.
Other than LOC. We brought up LOC.
Sam Girard has looked fabulous. Ananen, Georgiev. Georgiev, like, he played well last night. And if we can get that Georgiev every night, right on. Josh Manson brings the toughness. I don't know whether earlier in the season he was hurt or playing out of place or playing more than he, with all respect, should. But man, he's looked good. He's physical, getting into fights, and also he's good for two or three pretty good scoring chances a game. We like that, Josh Manson.
He's taking lot less penalties.
He is, and which means
a lot.
I don't know whether.
Remember when he was taking like three per? He was playing aggressive, but like to that point where you're just becoming a liability because every time you do something, you're getting 2 minutes. He seems to have really toned that down. Like he's riding the right side of that aggressive line.
Yeah. And I don't know whether it's because he's healthy or he's playing more. You know, he's definitely not a top two guy. Not definitely on this team. Maybe on another team it could be. But yeah, he's looked great.
It could be a lot of things. Be that he found a protein powder that works for him. He could have gotten like free checking at some bank, and that's really like pumped him up. He
could have saved 15% by switching to Geico.
Hey, whoa. We're not getting paid for that. We're not new.
Okay. You can bleep that. He could have been saving 15% by changing to some company that I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, can we do that?
Can we save 15%? I don't know. No, I mean, that's probably reserved just for hockey players.
Oh man.
Yeah, sorry.
This sucks. But I thought about LOC last night, and that would have been his kind of game last night. But for those of you who live under a rock, he's out for the season with hip surgery. Something that had been bothering him for a while. And it was time to get that fixed so he can be ready for next season.
Living under a rock in this real estate market? Are you insane?
Well, that might be where most people can afford to live right now, because it's ridiculous around here. But yeah, he is missed. But I think those moves at the deadline were made based on him not being able to play. I think that was before they actually announced that too. But we miss LOC, and Miles Wood, I guess, had the same procedure done a couple years ago. And he says it's a long road to recovery, but, you can't get back to 100%. So we already are looking forward to that. And he's known as the mayor of Denver now.
Nice.
So we miss the mayor. So that's almost everything Avalanche. I mean, Cale Makar is out here just, you know, casually at 25 years old, becoming the top defensive scorer in Avs history, has his first hat trick. His first one since, I think he said, juniors. So he does that. And
even Pale Kale was pretty good last night. So
I saw that adjustment you made in the notes. That was great. Well played, sir.
I had to bring it up. Otherwise, Mikko Rantanen.
No, that was great. I laughed. We were talking about something else. Yeah, that was the first hat trick by a defenseman since Sandin Sojalynch did it 25 years ago. So, yeah, that was pretty good. And then as much as Mikko Rantanen, he's been taking a few penalties lately. He has his droughts. Like, a drought for Rantanen is not a drought for anybody else, but the standards are higher. But he scores his 250th goal. And became the first player in Avs history to score 30 or more goals in four straight seasons on February 24th. Wow. Nathan McKinnon's right behind him with that. But yeah, the Moose. The chemistry on this team and the depth up top is hard to match up against, and we're here for that.
Absolutely.
So it's time to talk about our favorite thing since our last show.
You want first or you want me first?
I put you first, so you do it. Right. And did you figure out who took the bobbleheads?
No, this was my first one was originally that the Jaromír Jágr bobblehead night had to be canceled by the Penguins because somebody stole all of the bobbleheads. Nobody really knows.
Have bobblehead night without the bobbleheads.
Yeah, somebody knows how many bobbleheads it was, but last report I saw was that the media didn't know how many bobbleheads it was. However, they said that it was that everyone in attendance got one, and the capacity at, I believe, is it PPG Paints Arena?
Paints?
Yeah. They paint. The capacity there is 18,187. So it was probably 20,000 or so, because there's going to be all those people, you know, broadcasters would get one and friends and family, blah, blah, blah. There was probably around 20,000 bobbleheads stolen.
Just poof. Like, how in the world?
Well, you know, you got to think that maybe there was like some kind of international heist of art or something else, some commodity. And this is not like the heist film where this is not Ocean's 11. This is more like that one where they open it and they stole the wrong thing. And, you know, they open the back of the truck and they're like, see, we got it. And then the guy looks at it and he's like, you dunces. And they're like, what? We stole the number you gave us. No, that wasn't a 9. That was a 6. And they're like, oh, we read it upside down. And then they have to like kind of like get rid of all these bobbleheads and then steal the right thing.
But then what do you do with 20,000 of them?
But
though?
Exactly. There's no way they're going, what am I going to do with 20,000 bobbleheads?
I would watch this show, by the way.
I know you would. This is
like, is it a movie? Is it a, I don't know, a mini series?
This is my next novel is I'm the in. Novelization of the stealing.
But it has to be with bobbleheads though.
Of course it's going to be with bobbleheads. But
what else would it be?
But for copyright reasons, it will be, it won't be Yammer Yager. It will be, Jogger is the guy's
name. I mean, what the, yeah.
Anyways,
idiots, these are bobbleheads.
Anyways, that was going to be my favorite thing. However, then I saw that there was the Seattle area, a 5-on-5 all goalie hockey game. All goalies on the bench, no goalies in net. It was absolute madness. I saw a little video of it on Reddit, and then I read the write-up of it in the Seattle Times. I'm going to tell you, this game, not only because of the goalies, but even some of the other rules sounded brilliant. First off, there were no goalies in net. If you went in the crease, you got a penalty.
How dare you?
If there were any penalties, there wasn't 2 minutes in the box. It was a shootout, and the person who was... it was a penalty shot. And if whoever the foul was against, like if I tripped you, you get to stop me in, you get to go in net and stop me. And then also I got the opportunity to wear a, you know, player's gloves and use a player's stick rather than goalie gloves, goalie stick. They had a shootout in the end, which also involved the refs. So that was fun for them. Absolute hoot. And just reading this.
It sounds like the Savannah Bananas of hockey.
Kind of. And it was just so much fun. That it was like, this is the way it should be. Like, this is what hockey should be. It should be fun.
That's awesome.
So that was my favorite thing. We'll post links to the article in Seattle Times, which has a couple of clips like that were posted on Twitter. Indeed. There's the, we'll post the link to the Reddit thing. What an absolute hoot.
I saw that too, and it was going to be one of my favorite things until I saw other favorite things. But yeah, I'm happy you put that in.
Oh yeah,
that's
the stuff, that's baby.
That's the good stuff right there.
Yeah. What do you got for me?
My favorite things were Bo Byron's power play. I'll post that, and you got to read the comments on on Twitter.
You know, if you can, like I clicked on the thing and I couldn't see any of the comments because I wasn't sending it to Twitter because we need to make sure that you're signed in to see things.
Don't give me stuff. Going back to Patrick Waugh, he's on the bench. There's a guy behind the bench who has a Patrick Waugh t-shirt on from his Avalanche days. A puck goes over the boards into the bench. Somebody hands Patrick Waugh the puck. He taps on the glass with the puck, and he actually failed. He tried to throw it over to the guy, and the guy eventually got it. But and then Patrick Waugh he was laughing on the bench. Which do you recall him laughing on the bench for the Avs at all?
No, I don't remember.
Like,
you mean as a coach?
As a coach. I don't remember many like smiley moments from like he's not usually like that.
No, but he was. I mean, he wasn't exactly like he didn't always have like the angry look on his face. But he was. I mean, he was intense, but he still kind of like had that.
Yeah.
Like there was a thing about Patrick Waugh where everybody wants him to be so intense, and then when he's not, people are really disappointed. So
I was not disappointed at all. This was a really cool exchange, and for those of you that are on Twitter X, you can check that out. It's just really cool. I think he was laughing because his toss was so poor, but he was having some fun during the game and also acknowledging the fan who was sitting with his shirt on. That's the good stuff too. And also, I saw you just clicked on this.
I did. I hadn't seen this before.
The Canuck player, I don't recall his name. This is his first NHL game as well. But Mikko Rantanen and Cale Makar are working hard to dislodge a puck that's supposedly underneath this player in his first NHL game. And it's all the way down the ice. The cameramen were fooled, the camera people, and also Makar and Rantanen. And the other part of this that's funny is Nikita Zadorov comes up and he doesn't like hit anybody. He's not like, you know, get off my player. He just kind of skates over to Rantanen and he's just like, the puck's way down there, dude. Like, hey, 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 whoa.
He just, the way he casually there. Points down the ice, he's like, guys.
Wait, guys, this is like Ghostbusters, where it's like, hey, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. And he's just like, guys, the puck's not there. It's way down there.
And it must have been a dead play at that point or something, because yes, everybody just kind of stops. They're just not even like, oh, sorry, then I better go down there. They're just like,
my bad.
Well, I'm just going to go back to the bench.
That's just hilarious. So you're watching the camera. The camera's fooled too. The camera's like, oh, because I think that the person running the camera must be like some of us, a lot of us that read the players. Mm-hmm. Like, you may not be able to see the puck all the time, but you can tell by the players where the puck is. They fooled us there.
I love the play. I love all the fans on the glass right there also, just looking over like...
They've got their cameras out and stuff.
They play with them. It's right there, out. So...
Oh, man, look at this battle for the puck. Yeah, there ain't no puck.
Yeah.
Welcome to the league, kid.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's literally what I was thinking.
That's hilarious. But yeah, funny stuff. Yeah, Zadorov, I just love, and it probably helps that he played with Miko. Mm-hmm. It's like Miko.
And they're exactly the same size. They're both enormous.
Large people.
Very.
So that's our favorite stuff. We'll post the favorite stuff in the post for the show. Mm-hmm. And that's about it.
That's about it
for almost everything Avalanche.
Oh my God, I have to burn through the spiel because I got to go to work.
Just give them the short version.
You go to the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast, where you will find our previous episodes, our current episode. You'll eventually find future episodes, because we're the future too. You'll find links to many of the things that we talked about, including our favorite things. You'll find links to things like Avs Twitter Psychic, which is still happening, no matter what you call Twitter. Shout out to
everybody
Twitter.
Still playing.
Absolutely.
We're having fun with it.
I wanted to mention also real fast on this podcast. So the sound assistant where I work was like, hey, so we were talking, when are you going to become a Wild fan? I mean, you live here now, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, never.
You shut your mouth. What the?
So just wanted to say a shout out to all the people who think that just because I moved to Minnesota, I think I'm going to stop being an Avs fan.
No. Wow.
So there you go.
I know. Did they have any idea you're an Avs fan?
When they hired me, or when I started working with them, I said something about like, cause the union I work for is over there as well. And that in the XL. Okay. And I said something about like not working for the enemy. And then they're like, hey, what, when you said that, are you not, what do you mean? What do you mean by that? I was like, well, I am from Colorado. You said that kind of
judgingly.
And they're like,
oh. You said that judgingly. I was like, yeah, I know. I'm glad you got that.
How dare you? Oh, they take their hockey seriously up there. You better be careful. I was like, I take my hockey seriously as well. I will not.
Now they know.
Yeah. I take my hockey seriously unless I'm taking it whimsically. So.
Just like my coffee.
And my 5-on-5 goalies. All right. So that was the spiel.
That's the spiel.
All right.
Go to our site. There's things there. Mm-hmm. Click on them.
All right.
Find us.
Fist bump.
Fist bump. My iPad's upstairs. I should have brought it down. iPad. I'll touch your iPad.
Thank you.
Virtually touching the iPad.
Very special.
For James Tape Leg Graylian, I'm Jay Veen. Please take care. Go Avs, go. And we'll talk to you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya. What's you can mini bowl or what it's the where the mini pins are tied to strings. Have you seen that before?
Duck pin. It's called duck pin bowling. There's like they're shorter. You get like smaller balls like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duck pin bowling.
But it's actual pins, not the.
It's
because I think there's a version that has sticks too or whatever.
It's duck pin bowling.
Yeah.
It's duck pin bowling.
Duck
pin bowling. I'm going to say this again. Unless it's Canadian five pin bowling.
Whoa, you know bowling.
It's duck pin bowling because the one with the sticks is called candlestick bowling.
Oh, whoa. How do you know all this? You know a lot of stuff.
I've been around the block, my friend.
Okay.
I've been around the bowling block.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I played Duckpin in St. Louis. Okay. There was some Duckpin there. Candlestick is kind of a New England thing. They even used to have candlepin.
Are those tied to strings?
Candlepin bowling. Huh?
Are they tied to strings?
No, they aren't. Okay. Because when you, with candlepin, you get three balls that are like this big, right? And like softball size. And they don't sweep them away between every frame.
Oh, so you can use...
Well, that's the thing. It's hard because if you don't hit one of those dead center, they just spin in place kind of thing. Well, so okay. Sometimes, you know, you're like, oh, I'm going to play this pin. I'm going to hit the pin and it's going to knock into those three pins. And then you hit it and it's like, maybe takes out one, maybe. And, you're
and
like,
then oh, science crap. Happens. Physics. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They used to televise it in the mornings on, in New England. Like nope, they used to have like in the 70s, they had, I've seen it on YouTube. Like Meg was like, oh my God, my mom used to watch this growing
up. No kidding. I'd probably do better like throwing the ball at the pins rather than rolling.
You probably would. It is more difficult than it seems. You're like, oh, three balls, those things down there. You can sneak a ball between. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then Canadian five pin bowling is similar to duck pin, but there's five pins and then
they were short on pin.
15 points per round. And you get the small balls also.
Small balls.
I knew you were going to key in on that.
Small balls.
And I'm not disappointed.
Well, you had like four or five ball references. I didn't say anything. I can't sit here forever. Plus, you had a visual. Like, come on. You just expect me to say nothing? I resent the fact that you should have given me credit for waiting to not say something about it. I'm disappointed in you.